This is Lee Chambers on Cambridge 105 Radio.
It's Fred's House and Shut Up and Dance. And from Fred's House in the studio with me, I've got the drummer Paul Richards. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. How are you doing?
And your trusty can of Red Bull.
Blue Spark today. I was in a rush. Same thing, isn't it, really? But
do you ever go anywhere without a can of Red Bull?
I try not to. It's like a safety net, isn't it? These are very long days at the moment. And I think I'm still jet-lagged as well.
Jet-lagged, because when did you get back from China?
Last Wednesday. Should I still be jet-lagged? I'm not really experienced traveller. How's this work?
You shouldn't really be jet lagged by now.
It was about 4 in the morning. I was up and I was really wide awake and I was writing my Christmas show and I was really buzzing. So I think my schedule is still a little bit out. But
China is a long way though.
Might be the Red Bull.
My body's used to the Red Bull, and the Red Bull in China is still, and that really confused me. It almost felt like it was a health drink. I didn't like it at all. It's good to be back.
Let's backpedal a little bit and remind ourselves how you came to be in China in the first place.
It's quite a long and complicated story. I'm not even too sure myself. We did a gig in Cambridge at Netherhall School on a Saturday afternoon it's a Chinese New Year gig to try and bring the Cambridge and Chinese communities together, and we were the only English act on the bill. It was quite confusing because we were supposed to be in Chinese and we were at like 23. We don't speak Chinese, so it was very, very we had no idea what was going on, and I didn't think we were that good that day. I thought we were unrehearsed, and there was no sound check. It was a bit rushed, but then they loved us for it, and the head of the festival seemed to be there and offered us a place at his amazing event, and we assumed it was a con, and we said no about 5 or 6 times, but they persisted, and eventually we realised it was legitimate. So
off you went to China, and you were taking part in a specific festival there.
It was a jazz festival, which we're not a jazz band, and when we got there we panicked about that, but it turns out most of the bands weren't jazz either. I think jazz is
very
a very loose
term.
Genre.
Yes.
Yeah, very, especially in China, is anything that isn't jazz. And so it was lovely. So we got there, it's a jazz festival, we played 13 shows over 15 days, a lot of travelling, but amazing venues.
And where were you then, actually, in China?
We started off in Nanjing, where the opening ceremony was, which was probably a career highlight, by far the biggest thing. I mean, bewildering. I mean, we were so tired, we sort of landed, then had a day off in which we slept, and then there's all these dancers and everything, and it was a huge opening ceremony. It felt like it was an arena at times.
And you were part of that?
We were the finale, which was
wow.
And they changed the arrangement of the song we had to play. We covered Kang Ding, a Chinese song, they changed the arrangement slightly, and then they had all these guest musicians, had this blast of us and all this stuff, and all these dancers and balloons popping everywhere, and loads of people, and it was incredible, really. I'm still talking about, I filmed most of it, so I should have been drumming, obviously, but I was filming on my phone and drumming on one hand, and it's just one of those life moments where you're thinking, what's going on here?
Career highlight.
Yeah, we were a folk pop band from Cambridge suddenly closing this festival. I think it was filmed for China TV as well, and I know that Vix and Lockie were filmed for TV. and it was just this weird, yes, it's a parallel universe, isn't it?
From Nanjing, then you went to...
Then we were all over the place, actually. I think we stayed in the... I'm terrible at pronunciations, so I'm wary. It was basically 4 hours travelling most days on a bus. We got treated incredibly well, but it's also a sense sometimes that we kind of felt like... I like the term jazz cattle. Which we were kind of put on a bus and then taken to the next place, but then given these lovely 5-star meals and stuff, and then sound check, and then gigs to hundreds and hundreds of people, and then fancy hotel, different hotel every night, and it was really, really hard work, but that's mostly because of the enjoyment that we're having as well. I mean, a lot of late nights, a lot of rice wine, which is dangerous stuff, isn't it?
Is that like sake? I
know it was 42%. I remember drinking it from a jug at one point.
That's quite exciting.
Yes.
The thing I remember from China is when they serve you that, they serve you in these tiny, tiny, tiny little glasses with thimble.
And then they give up after a while, and it's drink it from the jug.
And you're still sitting there going, oh, this is nice.
Yes, it's nice. And the next morning it isn't so nice. It's when they say campaign, you have to, it's basically what, cheers. And you have to go, so I lost count of 11 times in one night. And they have these waitresses watching you. And so as soon as you drink a sip of beer, they top it up again. And you kind of lose perspective of that. And then, which is a lovely lovely party time, but then you've got to do these really intense shows as well. So it's just an amazing experience. It's not all about the drinking, obviously. No, we played some brilliant shows over there.
Well, let's talk about this watching you thing. I know you're talking about waitresses there, but obviously, yeah, you know, China, quite a repressive regime. Were you aware of being watched at any stage?
I think we were hidden from the dangers. That's a bit strong, but they made it very, very comfortable for us. But we had two translators with us the whole time. There was a big team of us. We were touring with a Belgian band who didn't play jazz either. And there's 20 of us together, and it was so well managed that we were kind of hidden from any dangers. And it was just lovely and comfortable for us. But I'm not sure if I'd be overly keen on going back to some of those areas again as a tourist, shall we say, because we had it so nice. We got put straight into nice dressing rooms, nice sound checks, nice venues. We were treated like kings, basically, the whole time. It was brilliant. I nearly got arrested in the toilet. That was weird. In a shopping centre. I was waiting for a wee, and these two policemen followed me in with handcuffs, and I still don't know why. But they looked at me and then changed their minds and apologised. So I said, I looked dodgy. But that was... Gav, our bassist, popped out one day to get some bananas, and he was... there's two policemen came after him as well. And then, luckily, a festival organiser ran after them and showed them photos of our visas. So there's an undercurrent there of perhaps... Yeah.
It's very easy to forget it. I mean, we found that in China. Because you're being looked after, it's very easy to forget that actually it's not, this isn't a liberal Western democracy.
No. Part of me's got to say, is it all bad? I mean, it kind of, I don't know. It's because obviously there's no Google, there's no Facebook, and you know,
how did you survive without that?
I know, because I update my Facebook status at least 18 times a day. For the first 3 or 4 days, I was panicking about what's going on, and actually it became a bit of a detox for me, and I loved it. But then I came back and I had about 700 emails, but only 4 of which were relevant, and all these notifications, and none of it matters, does it? You know, after all, and it's made me change my perspective on things a lot, so it's been good for me.
Well, what could you get on the internet then?
I had a Hotmail account, which worked, and I got into Instagram for a day, but then apparently I shouldn't have been able to get that.
You can't get into anything really that takes you outside...
No, I think Bing was the search engine that you use, and it's very, very strict. I mean, I was just trying to get the Spurs score most of the time, and even that was quite a struggle, actually. So it kind of felt weird, like a holiday in that sense, but yeah. And my next year's Edinburgh show is going to be called Lanky Man Lost in China, but it's more lost without the outside world, because it's just bizarre. But at the same time, you know, we are being treated so incredibly well that we mustn't grumble about anything at all. It's just...
Playing gigs to hundreds and hundreds of people.
Yeah, like Bing than we've ever played in England ever. Every day, and yeah, it got to a stage where you turn up to like a 350 capacity room and go, oh, it's a small one today. You know, there are proper theatre spaces, and we were mobbed after every show, and we sold out CDs over there, even though they don't really have CDs in China, so they just wanted anything to take away from them afterwards. They just wanted to buy stuff with our faces on. It was really weird.
And have you had any kind of follow-up to that since?
I guess they don't do Facebook over there or anything, so we don't actually know what they're saying about us. I think they have WeChat over there, which is their equivalent, which is very, very managed perhaps by sort of society, but then it did work for me anyway. I couldn't get to work, so we don't quite know. I mean, we've spoken to the festival again about hopefully going back next year, and we went down very, very well, so hopefully we'll be back soon.
So what did you like the most and what did you like the least about China?
It's going to sound selfish, but I enjoyed the ego boost the most. It kind of felt really like Beatlemania at times. No, we could have been any Western band. Could have gone over there, and they just liked the idea that we were there playing for them. And there's some days when I thought we were evidently tired on stage and not sloppy, but not the best we have been. And they still loved everything we did, and we couldn't do a thing wrong. And the actual signing the merchandise and all that stuff afterwards was more exhausting than the gigs itself. And even in the lift one day, people just wanted photos with us and selfies everywhere you went. It was just
How wonderful is that to feel a real proper pop star.
It is. I got back to Cambridge and I got stuck on the A14 and I got really grumpy again, and no one wanted a selfie for at least 3 days. And I got really
we'll do one today.
Thank you. Cheers.
We'll top you up.
I was at the rehearsal the other night, and Esther just said, you're really struggling, aren't you, to just cope being back.
I suppose it makes you realise what it must be like when you permanently live in a bubble like that, if you're Robbie Williams or somebody.
Yeah, and actually I don't think I'd like that after all. It was nice for a couple of weeks, but there's points where you just want to get the football scores and have a beer without people just being so nice to you all the time.
And what did you like least?
The food was my diet. I mean, had like, you know, frazzles for breakfast, that sort of thing.
I know, Twix today.
Jenna, I went main reason I went to China with my wife is because she doesn't really like chili. She doesn't really like weird things. She doesn't like things with eyeballs. So we went for quite some time. I spent the week doing all the eating, which was necessary. Then I left to go back with my daughter, and she was there for another 2 days. The first food that she was given by the guests, whole fried frog in a chili crust, which she had to eat. I was like, oh, my God. It was not good.
Because I thought they were out to shock us. Because I had pig's blood one day. I thought it was chocolate. Because it looks the same as like little blocks. And then there's...
You ate it like
it was chocolate. Chicken blood and then pig's lung, I think it was. I didn't eat the lung. I didn't realise what it was. I can't get a hang of chopsticks, even though I had a lot of time to get experience. But our translator, Leo, bless him, every day he'll get me a knife and fork and be very discreet about it as well, but I felt like the kid in the class who could,
so the food, but you had your Red Bull but without the fizz.
About the fizz, well, I found an extra strong Red Bull. It's a weird kind of, I've got still Red Bull or extra strong, but nothing in the middle. And the one night I had the extra strong stuff, I played very, very fast, and the band, they banned it from me, actually.
How do you know your drummer's at the door? The knock speed's up.
Yeah.
Your gig was over in 5 minutes.
It was. I remember the rest of the band feeling quite lethargic. It was quite far into the tour, and I was like, hey, guys, let's do this. And it's like, yeah, he's not having that again. But I might try and get it imported over. It's really good stuff.
Well, it sounds a brilliant experience. Yeah, what's next for the band, then?
We're working on the third album. It's been a fairly quiet year for us gig-wise. We've done, I counted this year, I've done about 65 gigs personally, and I think probably 40 of those have been Fred's House gigs, but by our standards, that's nothing at all, is it? But working on the third album, which is pretty much done. We were back in the studio on Sunday, because we don't ever stop.
We don't ever stop.
And I think it'll be done by Christmas, and it's a case of then getting it mixed, mastered, and out by, hopefully, early next year. There's a lot of gigs already for next year. There's quite a lot of touring coming up, so... onwards and upwards, and it's a really nice album as well. Actually, it's got a little bit reggae at times, as much as Vix would deny that. It's a very dancey kind of up tempo album, and it's lovely. So yeah,
I know you're going to get any Chinese influences in the music following your tour there.
Probably not. No, the Chinese song that we played over there went down a storm every day, and there was talk of us recording it. We thought it's just too cheesy. And then we did it live on the radio, Radio Cambridgeshire. You're not rivals, are you? All friends, yeah.
We all love each other.
So we did it on Sue Marchant's show, and that went, and I thought, that's just lovely, but it kind of feels like a gimmick, and we can't keep doing that. We weren't always exposed to a lot of the Chinese music over there as well, because we're touring with a Belgian band who are quite poppy as well, and that's kind of all we saw, it's just us and those guys. So I think we stick to what we're doing, really.
Well, lovely to have you back.
Thank you.
To have you back. And you're talking about food there. Yeah. I've actually got a little surprise for you, Paul. Last time you were here, it was the Macmillan coffee morning, wasn't it?
Do you
remember you bought a raffle ticket?
Yes.
And you've won.
Have I?
A £25 voucher for Prana, the Indian restaurant. So there you are. That's good, isn't it?
So
you can have a break from the frazzles and the Twix.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Nice to see you. Do stay in touch.
We will do. Thank you.